Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today it's just me again. I was supposed to have two friends and comedians, Amory and Paul, come over to podcast, but we've got another snowstorm, so they couldn't make it. They will be on another time, and it's just me, which is also pretty nice because I'm kind of going through it emotionally, and I totally would have been able to get my life together for people being near me, but it's always kind of cool when I'm in this kind of a funk to be able to just share as best I can what's going on, although I'm not going to go into full details because I don't know. I don't want to make it a complete therapy session, but I will kind of explain what's going on. So this past weekend, I had spiritual school, which is always so intense. It always kind of unwinds you in an even deeper way, and it brings up so many, for me, emotions that need to be processed in order for me to heal them and kind of, in a sense, get to the next level, whatever that means. And we have been learning for pretty much the whole year a walking meditation called impersonal movement. I can't share too much about it because it's a meditation that you really can't do, or I think even know too much about, until you're in the fourth year of my school, which is, by the way, again, called A Society of Souls. The founder is Jason Shulman, who is beyond incredible. He has been studying, I don't even know what I'd call it, spirituality, metaphysics, consciousness. I guess it would be consciousness. He's been studying consciousness and so many other things for years and years, and he really developed these maps, in a sense, to freedom, to kind of free ourselves and untangle ourselves. And the work is so deep. It's based on the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, and the 10 Sphero are qualities of consciousness that you can find throughout the universe. And that's what makes up humans, us. It makes up everything, these trees. And all the trees make up the flower of life, which is one of my favorite sacred geometry symbols. So check them out if you're on Google and you want to look up the Kabbalistic Tree of Life or the Tree of Life, or you can put in Arcturian sacred geometry, which I think I told you guys about on another podcast. Just check it out. You don't need to like it or not like it. I find them fascinating, all these symbols. But so I had my school and we learned the third part of this impersonal movement meditation, and holy fuck. When I went into this weekend, I didn't realize how much it was going to shift me and bring up. Like, I just was kind of like, all right, time to go to school. And because this was the third part of this meditation that I've been doing now, I guess since September, October, it didn't really occur to me that the last couple of steps would add so much to the whole thing and shift me so deeply. So I wasn't really prepared for what happened or came up. But even after the first day where, and how do I explain it without giving away too much? So basically this meditation is made up of a bunch of different steps to enter different states of consciousness, which this walking meditation is just amazing. It really does have you walking through different states of consciousness in a wild way. And one little piece I will share without going too deep into it is, before this weekend, we learn how to enter this state where essentially you're playing, and I'm saying playing in quotes, I always do quotes, but it's a sort of impersonal play, which is one of the best feelings for me in the world, because you start doing these movements that almost seem to come from another place, but that other place kind of feels deep within your soul. It's just awesome. It's one of my favorite things. But I'd already been doing that for months, so I just was like, okay, gonna learn the last couple steps, no big deal. And it kind of had me, in a sense, meet my ego, like me as Kate Wolf from an impersonal place, I guess is how I would describe it without giving away too much. And that was just like the first day. And that fucked me up. I'm not exactly sure why, but I guess kind of having my consciousness touch my ego in a certain way shook me. Like I was like, but it was on such a deep level. It wasn't even like the thoughts that were coming through. I just felt like messed up. So my class was from like, I guess 10 to 5. And then I go to drive home to New Jersey, which is like an hour. And I'm like, dizzy. I'm like, okay, just get home. But I already felt like I was swirling, which happens a lot of times in these weekends. But I can't afford the hotel to stay there in New York City. So I always drive back home. So I'm dizzy, but I get home. And then my head starts like killing me, like a massive, horrible headache. And at this point, when it starts getting really bad, it's like 7 at night. And I'm like, all right, you know what? I just want to go to bed anyway. So I took like 3 Tylenol PM because I thought it would help my headache and knock me out. And it didn't touch me. Like it didn't help the headache and it didn't make me tired at all. Like the pain in my head was just so intense, you know, and I was like, okay, I could take an Excedrin, but that has caffeine in it. And then I'm going to be up the entire night and just a miserable human being. And I also have this prescription medication for headaches that I never used because I know it's pretty intense. And I was like, all right, I'm probably going to have to crack this open, but I was nervous about it. And I got that prescription for headaches because I had that panic attack when I filmed my rap video, Labia Game. And there were many factors that led to the panic attack, but one was I had taken 2 Excedrin. I took 2 Excedrin that day, and I have to be very careful about caffeine because I'm so, so sensitive, and caffeine, it has that quickening feeling, and I already battle anxiety and depression, but this is about the anxiety. So caffeine, it just like triggers the anxiety even more, and it can push me over the edge to a real severe panic attack. So that's why I got this prescription. I needed headache medicine that was pretty strong without caffeine in it. So I finally took one and I just really spoke to my body in this moment. And I was like, what is going on? Like, what is this about? And I knew I wouldn't know the exact answer because once again, this meditation is taking you into a whole other state of consciousness that I can't fully even describe. But as much as I could understand, I was like, please. And I really try to make this a practice of talking to my body when I'm having, whether it's anxiety, a headache, you know, strep throat, which I got a couple times this year, or maybe even more. Well, the strep throat I had for like 3 months untreated, which led to all sorts of issues. But anyway, so I try to make it a habit to speak to my body and really listen and receive the answers that come back. So if I'm feeling very exhausted, I try to talk to it, et cetera, et cetera. So I was like, okay, let me talk to this massive headache and try to understand what exactly is going on in my body. And what came back was that I'd been holding in a ton of emotions surrounding a certain person and event. And it's really hard because I'm sure a lot of you battle the same thing. And I've been, quote unquote, battling this stuff since I was really young, where, you know, something really hurts you, but you don't want to constantly rely on expressing your feelings to that person or people, right? Like you want to also go within and be like, okay, I'm hurt, but let me go within and deal with this and try to fix whatever this wound is inside of me. So I'd really been trying in the last couple months to go within, figure out what's going on with me, channel my own emotions without having to necessarily express it to a specific person. And what came through was just like, you've been holding back way too much. Like you, as much as I'm good at expressing my feelings, I'm also really good, and this is a defense mechanism I've mastered since I was young, at being able to create a wall and kind of present to others, whether it's on social media or just in person, as like very happy, very okay. And maybe a lot of people see through it. I am a genuinely happy, excited person, but I also carry a ton of pain with me and have a lot of really hard days. And yet I think present way more happy and together than what's necessarily going on inside. So I think part of this headache was bringing up all of this stuff that I hadn't really been allowing myself to express or process. So I ended up reaching out to the person and having like a cry fest and expressing my feelings, which was really good. It was nice to connect. It helped things run through me. But also at the end of the day, I realized I'm still the one who has to sit with myself. I'm the one who has to deal with this discomfort that I've really been dealing with since a young age. Like I've been biting my nails like a very nervous person since I was one. My second grade teacher used to bring it up all the time in a really nasty way. I think I've talked about that before in here, where it's like, really nice lady, if you see your 7-year-old student nervously biting her nails, something's obviously going on. So maybe not yelling at her to take her fingers out of her mouth and maybe actually trying to figure out what's going on. Just a little tip. I'm sure she's like, she was already old then, so she might not even be around. Not to laugh, because that sounds mean. Anyway, but you know, okay, that was mean. Anyway, but yeah, she was pretty nasty about my nail biting when meanwhile I had just so much pain and tumultuous energy going on inside. So yeah, I'm glad I got to express myself and connect and all of that stuff, but I'm really trying to, as much as I can, and still with support systems, go within and figure out what exactly I need to do to feel whole on my own. And then what's interesting is the next day, so I, you know, I was able to cry, connect to this person who is one of my favorite people, a great soul. And then I went to school the next day, and I actually liked this day a little better because the next step brought us deeper into our hearts, where once again, I'm trying not to share too much, but we were able to kind of touch the dark threads within our hearts, which are also called vasanas. And please look all this up. I can't go too deep into it. You really, and anyone who's interested deeply in this work, I would suggest going to a Society of Souls. Like it's definitely a decent amount of money. I'm not rich, but I knew I had to go as deeply as I could inside of myself. And this work really takes you there. And yeah, so I can't, once again, I'm not even allowed to go too much into detail about what these steps are, because no one should really be trying this or doing this unless they have the first 3 years of the work as foundation, because they kind of stretch your bandwidth. Your bandwidth is almost like, I would almost describe it as like your soul song. Like you have to like massage it and stretch it to be able to hold these qualities of consciousness. So that's why I don't go so deeply into it, because I'm not allowed, and it could literally cause you like spiritual tearing and a breakdown. But yeah, so the next day, in a sense, I was able to touch these really dark threads or almost wounds that are in our hearts, but not even like our physical hearts. It's like our hearts, whatever that means. And I was actually really touched by it when I entered it the first time in class. I had tears streaming down my eyes, but in a very non-dramatic kind of way. It was just like something had moved me. And it was really, really lovely, but it's definitely gotten me really deeply in touch with these dark threads / wounds that I guess I've always known existed, right? Obviously, I've been talking to you guys about emotional pain and the importance of staying with it and sitting with your discomfort, but I got to touch it in a whole other way, and I heard some thoughts come through that go along with it, including the feeling of being worthless and empty and the ache I'm always feeling and the longing. And I think these are all, I'm not going to even say I think, because I know, and my teachers, Eileen and Jeff, shared this, that like these are all qualities and thoughts that come along with being a manifested human. Because to manifest, you have God, you have this like expansive God or universe or source energy, once again, whatever you call it. And to even manifest, there's this contraction into these threads. So, and I can't, once again, I'm just learning this stuff. I'm not an expert. If you want to know more about it, please sign up for the school, or please buy Jason Shulman's books. He has so many out there to understand this on a more deeper level. I just want to state that. But you know, these threads, when God contracts, which they call the sin sum, it creates these threads, and these conglomeration of threads make up us. And they make us up. And through those wounds, through those dark threads, the light can come through, which is beautiful, but it also feels horrific. You know, not every day. There are many days that are great, but once again, I've been really struggling because I'm feeling these places and it really hurts. Like, I've been hurting, I guess, since Saturday. I was probably already hurting before that, but because the last steps of this meditation took me into a different state of consciousness, I am really sitting differently with these wounds, and it's been hard to sit with the kind of pain I am in. And I'm not exactly, I'm still not sure how to handle it. You know, I'm really trying to take care of myself and do things that are kind without pushing myself and reaching out to people that I think can really give me the support I need at this time. But it's hard because I sit here thinking, who do I reach out to right now? Who do I feel safe connecting to? Who will make me feel the most alive? And is that, you know, the right person though to reach out to? And so I'm going through all these things, and you know, Jason Schulman's voice comes in my head from when him and Arlene, his beautiful, amazing wife, were on my podcast, where I kind of said to him, like, how do I know what's the right thing to do? If I get triggered, do I suck it in and ride it? Do I reach out? Do I express? And I loved his response, which essentially was like, me being so hard on myself, trying to figure out the right thing to do, was already so tight and strict. So I'm trying to be in a place where I'm like, there's no right or wrong way to handle this pain, and just try to kindly sit with it. But man, it's hard being human. I'm really feeling the struggle. I know I'm going to get through it. This coming weekend is my grandfather's, now I'm going to get emotional. It's my grandfather's memorial service. He passed. I know I told a lot of you, he passed 2 months ago. So it's interesting that they did it 2 months away, but they did that because I have a ton of cousins that live all over. Some are in other countries and some are just like in Nevada, all over. I have a really large family actually, and everyone's flying in. So they kind of pushed it 2 months so everyone could be there, which is really beautiful. So I'm going to get to see a lot of just amazing, beautiful people in my life that I don't often get to be around. And I'm just really looking forward to being around my family and their love. And it's interesting because my family, even though they're not all the same religion, like my pop and grammy were Jewish, but not very religious. And then one of my aunts is very, very Christian. And another one, I don't even know how to explain all their religions, but everyone's like a different religion. But most of them, no matter what their religion, they're very deeply spiritual seekers. And that's what I think so fascinating and what's going to be so cool to be around them. And I might even try to get some of them to come on the podcast with me, because one of my cousins, Adam, is actually a minister in Connecticut. And I would love to have him on and kind of go back and forth about our different beliefs and, you know, almost like in a cool way, compare and see where, because I love that. It's like we can all have these different beliefs and be coming from different places and yet find this common ground of love and respect. And I think deep down, we all just want to be heard and understood and be able to receive love. So I'm going to try to get some of my cousins on there. They have a lot of cool stories. So we'll see who's down to do that. But I'm really excited to be around them and share, you know, this deep sense of wanting to feel the presence of God, even though once again, and let me say something. The word God makes a lot of people uncomfortable. It used to make me super, super uncomfortable. Even I think when I started this school 3.5 years ago, when I read the word God in Jason Schulman's Kabbalistic healing book, I had actual transference to it. Because I think I still pictured God being what I was, I pictured God being the imposed God, like this man with a white beard looking down on us with like this overall structure, like this imposed structure, like this is the way, you know, you're supposed to live your life. And, you know, it really shifted into God being this vast, love, almost this vastness, this source energy, this super intelligence, creation. So yeah, it's like I'm not going to try to explain God because I can't do that. But just so you all know, anyone having transference to the word God, I was right there with you. And you can replace God with universe as well. But yeah, so it's going to be really cool to go there this weekend. I think it's going to really help me with what I'm going through. And I'm just trying to get through each day. Like today I'm snowed in and I'm a little bit like, fuck, you know, like, okay, I'm snowed in. What do I want to do? I think I'm going to do impersonal movement, the meditation, the first time since Sunday. I mean, we did this meditation 3 times each day for half an hour. That is an hour and a half of meditation a day. I don't know about you guys, but for me, that's a lot. And it fucking rocked my world. But I definitely want to start doing these meditations almost daily, but I have to wait till I feel like I have the container to do it every day. So right now I plan on doing it today and I think it's going to help me. And for those of you who struggle with meditation, and I think I've said this before, but let me say it again. There is a beautiful meditation that I learned from Eileen, one of my teachers in the school. She's also my healer. I talk about her a lot. She taught, and I think it's through Jason, it's the meditation of including or inclusion. I might be even saying it wrong, but you get the gist, where you can set your timer for 5 to 10 minutes and you include any noise you hear. So if there's a lawnmower going off, you just include it, bring it in. Any thought or any vision you get, you just include it and bring it in. And it's the most amazing meditation because most meditations teach you like clear your thoughts, get rid of them, silence the brain. Like, are you fucking kidding me? That's a nightmare. Like that. This is about allowing you to be who you are in your totality and bringing these parts in so they can locate. So for those of you who struggle with meditation, I would try it even for 5 minutes. It's so beautiful. You get to include any quote unquote crazy random thoughts you're having, even if it's about paying your bills or I didn't call this person back. You bring it in. You don't have to get rid of it. So yeah, so any of you struggling with meditation but want to start kind of implementing that into your daily routine or even weekly routine, I would recommend trying that one out. It is rad. Okay, so I'm talking to you about the dark threads within our heart. That's I have notes, obviously, about what I want to talk about. And what's also been going on since the schools, I've been feeling this like burning in my chest. It's like I can feel, and it's like so uncomfortable, but I also know it's like transmutation, like something is deeply alchemizing within me. So that's really, really cool. And yet it feels like hellfire in my body. It is a thing over here. I am really like, okay. You know what I keep picturing actually? I keep picturing a beautiful oak tree. And we actually learned the Magi process in my school. And Jason Schulman also came out with a book called The Magi Process. I would highly recommend getting it. But one of the steps, I'm going to completely mess this up, but it's, I think, like root big and deep like the oak tree, something like that. It's you know, whatever. And I've been really feeling that with all of this. Like as I kind of go through this fire and this tornado-y hurricane feeling, I'm trying to like actually picture myself rooting deep into the soil and really respecting process here because I'm fighting this urgency in my body that's like, come on, I want to be somewhere else. When am I going to manifest the actual life of my truest heart's desires? When am I going to be ready? And I really try to come back to where I am right now and say, this is where I'm at. And obviously, this is my current dream for a reason. I talked about this last week with the amazing Allison Charles. You know, why is this my current dream? So you can do that exercise where you really speak to your higher self. Okay, I know I think I want to be somewhere else, but why am I here right now? But then beyond that, I just picture myself literally rooting like a tree into the soil and knowing that I will get through these winds if I just really, you know, root deeply into myself and reminding myself that even with these feelings and thoughts that tell me you're worthless, you're, you know, feeling the emptiness, I don't want to be here. I also blanket that in my worthiness and knowing that I'm a powerful, amazing, beautiful light being that does deserve to be alive and is multifaceted beyond belief and can get through anything and will get through anything, even with the current challenges. So I'm really picturing that oak tree in this process and trying to remind myself I'm going to get through this storm, just like I've gotten through all the crazy storms in my life. And that's obviously a message for all of you guys as well, all of you warriors. Oh yeah. And whatever's also going on and coming up is I'm feeling almost like an 8-year-old girl. So, okay. So I dyed my hair last week. I did, the underlayer. I did it. I bleached it. And then I did hot pink and this bluishy green. So turquoise. And I was so stoked. Like, it was giving me so much life to look in the mirror and have this like almost like a Harley Quinn kind of vibe. Like I just was feeling myself and I still am. But like when I first did it, I was like, yes. And it's been interesting what it's representing to me. Because when I said I felt like the 8-year-old, I've been wanting to look like that since I was like 7 or 8. And I've been told like, no, Katie, that's not practical. And not just with my hair. Like, I think I've always been very deeply sensitive and in tune. As a matter of fact, I'm sure I've been. And I've kind of been silenced a lot. And it wasn't safe for me to be as big as I am. And I'm speaking this because I'm sure many of you can relate to this. So I had to play small to survive. And that's the ego. That's kind of what I touched the first day is our egos often have to, whether it's play small or silence ourselves or play bigger than we are. Like our egos are these magnificent creatures in a sense that know in such an intelligent way how to keep us safe and keep us alive. So the dyeing of my hair was kind of representing this place of being like, I no longer want to play safe and silence myself. I want to show the world who I am and allow myself to receive and open up again, which is once again related to this last step in personal movement meditation, because you're uncoiling the heart essentially. And to do that, you have to be able to open your heart again and receive. And it has been terrifying, terrifying for me to open back up because my defense mechanisms and my ego screaming like, no, no, don't do it. Because the last time I was truly open-hearted, I was very young. And that, you know, those were the scenes of the crime when I got hurt in all different ways and you know, defended against that pain. So it's very scary for me to be vulnerable and I'm trying. And part of it is, yeah, dyeing my hair and wearing the clothes I want to wear and saying these deep thoughts that might be weird or seem crazy to some people. And what I'm really rubbing up against is if someone belittles or diminishes something I'm saying, or like, it's like, oh, you're just going through a stage or a phase. I get so triggered. And I know that's still about me, but it's because here I am just starting to find the structure within myself to really speak my truth. And I'm already feeling a little bit stupid as I do that because I'm shaking as I say, no, this is me. This is the color hair I want right now. This is what I want to do with my life. And when someone, you know, unconsciously, you know, makes me feel belittled, it just, ooh, it's like fire comes up and pain. And so I'm really kind of noticing that easy to trigger thing around, yeah, someone belittling me. And I know that's going to shift and change as I root deeper and deeper into myself. It won't be as scary for someone to question my beliefs or my choices. I'm ready to no longer give away my power, which I'm struggling with. But yeah, I look forward as these wounds are being touched in a different way. I look forward to really starting to feel good about myself. And I know in so many ways I'm already confident, right? Here I just put out a crazy rap song called Labia Game where I'm shaking it and saying these crazy lyrics, right? Where it sounds like I'm the most confident person in the world. And in many ways, I am. Like that's definitely an aspect of me that's real and animalistic and primal and it's alpha and it's all these things. And I don't want to get rid of that ever. That's a part of me. But there's also obviously this very wounded part of me that feels worthless. And I cannot wait till I can truly hold space for all of these parts and feel seated in myself and feel worthy of a really good life and to be able to be seen enough to once again manifest a life that's very much in alignment with my heart's desires, which can also shift and change. But I'm not quite there yet. But I look forward to, you know, one day already I get to live a life of my dreams, right? I'm doing comedy, healing work, I'm rapping, I have the most amazing son in the world, I've confessed my love to a person. Like, I'm already very much in a way living my truth, but I still feel like I have yet to really manifest it fully. And I'm looking forward to having the, once again, I think it's the foundation or the roots to be able to withstand being seen on a deep level by, I guess, everyone. I don't know. I want to talk about, this is going to seem random, but it's kind of like trending on Twitter. I want to talk about Ben Affleck's tattoo. He has this big Phoenix tattoo on his back. And it's really interesting because people are making fun of it. I think it's lovely. I think it's like, yo, this dude got a huge Phoenix tattoo on his back. What I think's funny is that, so I guess he got it years ago and then I guess lied and said he just got it for like the, I don't know what movie, if it was like, I forget if it was like the Daredevil movie or Justice League, maybe it was like Batman. I forget what he said, but he said it was just for a movie. And they just, like someone just, a photographer, a paparazzi got a picture of him on a beach with a tattoo. So what I think is funny is like he made such a bold, beautiful move to get this beautiful symbol of a phoenix, which is, I love the phoenix, right? Rising from the ashes time and time again. Hello, my chest is on fire. I'm totally channeling phoenix energy. So I think it's great that he went and did something. What I think's funny is like he did such a bold thing by doing that tattoo. And you know, you can't get that kind of a tattoo in one sitting. So he had to come back and get it filled with color and all sorts of things. So for him to then like be immediately ashamed is interesting. And not that Ben Affleck listens to this podcast, but if you do, like, just claim that shit. Like, who cares who makes fun of it? That's because people are just uncomfortable in general. We're all uncomfortable with ourselves. Just be like, yeah, I got a fucking huge ass Phoenix tattoo on my back. Like, that's because I'm a fucking Phoenix and I rise from the ashes. And someone said that his ex-wife, Jennifer Garner, was like, made a statement like, what am I supposed to be? The ashes? And I don't get that vibe at all. I don't think he was trying to say anyone's the ashes. I think the ashes is his old skin that he has burned off to kind of be rebirthed. So I don't think it's to insult anyone. I think he just got it to reclaim his own power and how much he's been through. And I think every single human being, every single one has the right to want to go deep within and be reborn. And you can do that pretty much every second of the day. It's hard as shit. You know, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, just be reborn. It's so easy. Like, I feel like I'm on fire. I feel a lot of my, I like how I can say that and laugh. Like, I don't know if that's a defense or just what it is, but I think I can always find the light and the humor in these places. One of my gifts and defenses. Because once again, you're not supposed to get rid of the ego. A lot of spiritual teachers who say that, wrong. Not that there's a right or wrong, but it doesn't feel right. It's about healing the ego, including it. And in a sense, that's what I'm trying to do with all these wounds that are coming up and these pains. I'm not trying to say, you know, worthlessness feelings, get out of here. I think they're going to exist. I think part of being a human is that pull, that longing. I'm not going to even say I feel. It's I know. It's those threads of contraction. To be here, we're going to always feel that pull. It's that pull back to God. So, or universe, once again, whatever you want to call it. So it's not about getting rid of these things. It's about including them. And I think Ben Affleck should include his insecurities and self-consciousness around the tattoo while also just boldly being like, yeah, it's dope. And then people will stop. I think people are coming after him because of his almost like embarrassment of it or his inability to claim it. It's like, dude, just like say it. You know what I mean? Like, it's all good. Claim that shit. Love it if you love it. Oh, life. I'm going to pull cards for you guys later, which I try to do every time I do a podcast alone, but I actually have an email. Now, this is ridiculous. I'm going to answer this email from a listener, but what makes it ridiculous is that I literally think I got this 2 years ago. I need to sign back on to my Invasion of Privacy Gmail account. I haven't signed on to it in a while, so I should really check and see who's been wanting to ask questions. I just love when I have the guests on, kind of going in to their soul and, you know, seeing what comes up naturally, but I definitely am going to try to find some more emails to answer for you guys here and there. So I'm sorry to this listener because I'm answering this a couple years late, but I reread it today and I was like, you know what? This is a great question. So let's go into it. So I'm going to read this to you guys. Hey, my name is Matt and I'm 14. Well, now you're 16, I think. So, hey, Matt, I have two questions. Question one, I came out of a relationship a year ago. I know relationships are stupid at my age, but I was just wondering how to get over it because we had such a deep connection since we were like 9 and now I don't feel whole anymore. All right, I'm going to stop there and do the second part of his email after I answer this, okay? First of all, I love that I got pulled to this email now because I'm so here with you, Matt. And I, once again, I'm sorry that it took me so long to get back to you. Okay. So first of all, relationships are not stupid at any age. Feelings are feelings. Connections are connections. My son had a girlfriend when he was like 3 and they were together for like 3 years. And he like genuinely, they like loved each other. You know what I mean? Like, and that was real. And I never tried to dishonor that. I wasn't like, you know, like, yeah, go get married. Like, you know, but I think we feel at every age. Look, a baby is so connected to its parents. That's real. It cries. It longs. Those emotions are real since we're born. So relationships are never stupid at any age. I'd like to say that. And I've been claiming that myself. That's part of the wound that's coming up when I said, like, if someone's like, oh, this is just a stage. Do you know that since I was young and started having crushes on boys, people were always being like, oh, this'll pass. Oh, you'll get over it. Oh, you're just in middle school. Oh, you're just in high school. What do you know? Fuck that hard. That is bullshit. Okay. Some of the deepest feelings I've ever felt were in middle and high school. And of course now, because I'm doing the healing work to come alive again and be able to feel all those feelings at the same intensity. That's a lot of this healing work is, you know, healing the disconnected places and the exiled parts that we disconnected from when trauma happened. And a lot of times it's heartbreak related. So I just really need everyone to know that it is not stupid to feel relationship pain at any age. Even if you broke up with a person 9, 10, 20 years ago, don't let anyone discount your feelings. We all have these collective belief systems of like, that's not what love's supposed to be. Oh, that's unhealthy, turbulent love. Oh, that's the kind of love that keeps you stable. Or it's like, no, you're allowed to figure out for yourself what kind of love you want. And often, usually, this is why I love twin flames and that concept of your mirror image of a flame, essentially, in this earthly realm is because they're going to bring up and trigger all of your shit. And most of us at a certain point go, nah, fuck that. I don't even want to go there anymore because we start to feel so fucking crazy and young and insecure when we go there. But, you know, for me, that's the only way is to really go as deep as you can and feel alive and find the connection where there are no limitations. And I think we often find that young, you know, like not that it's your twin flame necessarily, but I think we find ourselves in those really like, you know, turbulent things because it brings up all of those insecurities and all those places that feel unworthy of being loved and unworthy of truly receiving love. And if you, you know, come against your mirror image, you're going to see the parts that are so extremely beautiful that are going to be hard to take in if you feel worthless. But then you're also going to see all your blind spots that you might not be ready to hold. So it's going to be really intense. But once again, any age is completely reasonable to feel those deep, deep feelings of in love. And also, it's okay if you broke up with someone years and years and years ago and still feel just as strong about them. That doesn't make you fucked up. It doesn't make you crazy. Even if external circumstances look a certain way, even if they're with someone else, married with kids, living in another country, haven't talked to you in a year, 2 years or longer. Connection is connection. Feelings are feelings. Feelings can't be wrong. They are just feelings. So really just honoring and being like, wow, what a deep connection I have and had with this person to still be feeling this, to still be talking to them in my head. There's something here. And really just allowing. I'm not saying what the next step is. I'm not saying reach out to them unless you really want to. You know, of course, it's been my journey to try to open up
to whatever my feelings are, not exactly knowing where the destination exactly is, but I never think the quote unquote right answer is to suppress and hold it in, because that will only, like what happened to me Saturday night, give you probably physical issues, whether it's headaches, anxiety, sleeping issues, stomach aches. I mean, there, once again, so many physical problems I could list here, but often when we hold and repress feelings, they have a way of manifesting into our physical bodies. So how to get over it? Because I'm going back to his email, how to get over it because you had such a deep connection since you were 9 and you don't feel whole anymore. Well, it's probably getting you in touch with the part of you, honestly, probably the sin sum, the contraction. So we often, you're already whole as is. That's true regardless. So even though you're not feeling whole, and I completely can relate to that, please remind yourself that even with that feeling of not being whole, you are whole. But really including and sitting with the feelings of not being whole, because most of us, I think all of us, know exactly that feeling of that void. And we try to fill it with all sorts of things, whether it's people, money, drugs, porn, so many things. So I think this, the loss of this relationship has gotten you more in touch with that contraction within, that void that was already there. So just sitting with it kindly, that's the wound. That's the dark thread. So I think heartbreak often gets us really deeply in touch with those wounds. But remember, heartbreak is a crack, a deep crack to allow the light to come in. So right now I'm feeling completely cracked open, on fire, but I know on a deep, deep level that that's because light is rushing in so I can be alchemized and changed even on a deeper level to who I truly, truly am. And we are all truly whole, even if we never are able to fully enter our twin flame union or whatever union, for whatever reason, we still are whole on our own. And my journey, on the deepest level, is to feel alive and free and deeply connected to myself. And I am going to keep on going my entire life, exploring and going deeper within myself. And I think that's one of the best intentions anyone can have. And remember, setting an intention every day, every week is really helpful. So yeah. And how to get over it? Once again, I don't think you need to get over it. I think meditating, the meditation I taught to you guys, I think including the part of you that's just really heartbroken and feels like you'll never get over it, while also remembering time does heal these wounds. And I sometimes picture I'm on a raft floating in the ocean. And even though sometimes it feels like you're not going anywhere, I remember I am slowly drifting to land or to a ship or wherever. So you can also picture yourself slowly floating somewhere. Once again, we often want to get there quicker, but something that's been coming up for me is as much as my urgency tells me I want this quicker, I want this faster, the truth is it's all happening with divine timing. And if things sped up, there would be emotional abscesses. We would actually quake. It wouldn't feel, it never works out when we rush things. That's often when our spiritual ships sink. So really, as best you can, sitting with the urgency, sitting with the place that just wants to be over it, while just trying to be like, hey, this is where I'm at. And even though it feels stuck and like I'll never, you know, get past this place, I know that I'm actually healing and moving to another place. You know, who knows where that place is, but yeah. So that would be my advice on how to get over it. And there's nothing, once again, wrong with you. We all think there's something wrong with us. Why can't I get over this person? Why can't I stop smoking? Why can't I stop drinking? Why can't I do? There's nothing wrong. Just be where you're at. We all have struggle. And once again, as Jason Shulman says, it's like a backpack. We all have this backpack of struggle or pain, whatever, and it's kind of how you carry it that makes the difference. It doesn't have to be quite the burden. It becomes heavier when you think you're fucked up for even having a backpack, is what I'm trying to say. Okay, question 2. I don't know what I want to do with my life career-wise. Do you know anything I can do to help me find out what to do? And another beautiful question. So Matt, once again, beautiful questions. Thank you for writing in. Sorry, it took me a while. Okay, so a lot of people feel this where they don't know what they want to do career-wise or even like hobby-wise, because I'm always saying follow your highest excitement and all that stuff. So I would say really open up to just exploring, even if it feels silly. Pick up, you know, knitting if that's what you want to do. Try an art project, even if it's a one-time thing. Just really starting to open up to small things you always wanted to do. You know what? I kind of feel like dancing today. If you don't want to go to a dance class, put on some good music and just dance by yourself for 10 minutes. You can literally start there when you're trying to find out what is it that excites me, because ultimately our careers, we want to find something that really ignites our fire. And we usually want to work with people who also inspire us. But you first have to start opening up to who do I want to be around? What kind of hobbies or things do I like? And it takes time. And I'm sure I've said this before, but you know, I was an art teacher for 8 years. And when I went through my divorce and I had suddenly this extra time and energy to play somewhere, the first thing I did was volunteer with a charity. And I loved doing it. It was Charity Water. They're an amazing organization. And I started a club with the amazing Shannon Stone, another teacher. She's no longer there at the school. I love her. She's an amazing soul. But her and I did this club together. And my students, we started making jewelry to sell for the Charity Water Club, Charity Water necklaces. And then from there, I got inspired to start a jewelry business and did that for a year, which eventually I outgrew. And then I found comedy, and then comedy also included tarot readings. And then I joined this spiritual school. So what I'm trying to say is, like, one thing will slowly lead to another as you open these doors. And try not to be so graspy, like, I need to know who I am and what I want to do, and just kind of open it up a bit and be like, let's explore. Who am I? And once again, I went from, you know, exploring with a charity, because maybe I was like, oh, maybe I'll go and work with them. I went exploring that to jewelry making, to comedy, and then suddenly spirituality came in. And now I'm also including rapping, and I started painting again. So who the heck knows? And I don't know where I'm headed. Like, you know, it's a beautiful flow. So just kind of slowly starting to open up into what could possibly interest you without being so, like, panicky about finding exactly what it is that excites you, but saying, maybe I'll try that thing I always kind of wanted to do and see how that goes, and then see where that takes you and unfolds. So that would be my advice for that. And I think I am ready to pull some cards for you guys. Perfect timing. So I want to pull, I'm going to pull from my Archangel Michael deck and my Art Through the Eyes of the Soul Oracle deck. So I'll first do the Art Through the Eyes of the Soul Oracle. And by the way, I'm going to tell you the date. So this is going to come out tonight. I put it out late Wednesday nights, even sometimes midnight or one. But right now it's Wednesday, March 21st. It's just been the spring equinox. So a great time for planting seeds and getting ready to really actually bring more light into your life. So just so you guys know, but anytime you listen to this, even if it's a year or two from now, this card can and will apply to you if you want to take it in. Okay. Okay. I pulled the card and it's called the Welsh Fairy Glen. And I'm a big fan of fairies. Everyone, I think, pretty much knows that at this point. Big fan of fairy magic. And this card says, be curious, look deeper. Oh, man. Okay. So let me feel into this for all of us, because I think we often know on such a deep, deep level what it is we truly want and need, and yet we're so scared to actually go for it, because once again, to become vulnerable, to allow ourselves to really open up and receive and to see ourselves as beautiful and powerful as we are, almost knocks us over. Because it brings up, once again, all of those places that feel worthless and not good enough. So it can be really hard. Like, we get stuck in, I want this, especially in the external world. And the truth is the external is often reflecting back to us what's going on within. Not completely. It's a lot more complicated than that because it's where the inner world meets the external world. However, we get so locked in on like, I need this particular job or this particular thing. And the truth is that as we go deep, deep within and start to unlock our own truest potential and heal the kinks, untwist the knots, things will naturally fall into place because we're all energy. We are a vibration. So as we bring out our truest vibration, according to the law of attraction, which is real, things will naturally come to us that are meant for us. And that's why we don't have to push or fight in quite the way we think we do. It's one thing to move forward and to create and heal, but we don't have to chase in the way that many of us were taught to chase. Because at the end of the day, if we just keep going within and doing our work, the things that are meant for us and right for us will come in. And yet having that kind of faith and being able to surrender and let go, that's where the work is. Because to surrender and let go brings us once again to that very young, trusting child who was taught through trauma probably that the world is not a safe place and it's not something you can trust. And that's why we heal, so we can open back up to that inner child within to be able to receive the love that we were able to and had to receive when we were really, really young. So there you go. That's that card. I had to close my eyes and really go in for that one. Okay. And that was once again, Art Through the Eyes of the Soul Oracle. And now I'm going to pull from one of my other favorite decks. It's Doreen Virtue. She makes a ton of angel card decks. And this is the Archangel Michael, because I love him. Aw, this relates perfectly to it. So I pulled Innocence, right? And it's this beautiful boy angel with these magnificent bluishy wings, and he's holding a little puppy. And the prayer for this is, Dear God and angels, thank you for helping me see that all of your qualities of pure love and light are reflected within me and all others. Help me embrace my God-given innocence so that I may be at peace. Wow. So yeah, this just kind of piggybacks on the last card of like, as we can really go deep within, there's this beautiful innocence. Think of a baby, think of a puppy. We all have that still within us. But once again, when you look at most adults, we've had to become so defended from that place throughout the years because we were bullied or told, you know, don't feel that deeply. You know, we're called names when we weep. We're called names when we create this amazing artwork and then someone laughs at it. We learn how to disconnect from those really innocent, beautiful, soft places. So really trying to reclaim those places and remembering that all of your qualities, no matter what they are, even the ones that you have trouble allowing in, whether it's the insecure place, the rageful place, the jealous place, the lazy place, all of it, but remembering that those are all part of your innocence. If you look at a baby or a toddler, they go through the range of emotions. And really just remembering, like, you're allowed to bring these in, you're allowed to include them. And as you soften around those places within yourself, it's going to help you soften to others around you. And you'll probably be less severely triggered by others as you allow these qualities to really locate and live within you. And as we heal and soften, that life force can come through us more. And that life force, I believe, can enter through those dark threads. I think the vasanas, the contractions. And as we kind of just allow for the flow to come through us, that's what happens. And once again, any of you really looking to want to go way, way deeper, I would definitely look into a Society of Souls, the 4-year program. And there, it's not just in the US. I'm not sure when the next class will be in the US. There's right now, there are two going on in New York City at different times. There's one going on in Boston because there are different teachers that teach it. I believe there's going to be one in England in a couple years, one in Dubai starting in September. And I'm sure there will be one in the U.S. coming up soon. But definitely inquire because the work's amazing. It goes so, so deep and it will help you to become your truest self whoever that is. But be warned, your truest self might not be who you think it is. So you don't enter it thinking, oh, if I do this, then I will get this, 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 and this in the external. You might be surprised at what your truest heart's desires are, because we often get stuck in the chase of thinking we want something that's not necessarily meant for us. So this process is going to be about surrendering and really allowing yourself to soften into who you actually are. And then your vibration will naturally, attract what's actually meant for you. But it can be shocking as that happens, but in a good way, I think. I think it's like, look, when I started rapping, I was pretty surprised, but in a good way. I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I used to make little cute raps with my brother when I was really young. And then of course, I'm sure I got teased and bullied and made fun of and then stopped. Same with my singing. I've talked about this with a lot of you, but I've been trying to sing again, not really publicly, but I really have been trying to open back up to that, because I actually have a really cute, sweet singing voice and powerful, but it's very hard for me to be heard. Especially when I'm singing in a softer, more angelic tone, it feels so vulnerable, because if someone does hear and makes fun of me, it hurts. So those are the kinds of things that can surprise you on this journey. So there you go. Thank you guys so much for listening. Once again, I really appreciate. I know some of the stuff I talk about is not commonly discussed necessarily in our everyday life. So the people who really do appreciate and have found their way over to Invasion of Privacy, I just honor you and appreciate you. Please, if you haven't yet, check out my album on iTunes, 1111 Kate Wolf, 2 F's. So you can get it on iTunes. It's $9.99. So I would appreciate your support. Also, if you haven't checked out my rap video, Labia Game, yet, you can do that on my fan page on Facebook, Kate Wolf, or on my, it's actually uploaded 3 places in YouTube. So you can just put Labia Game in and watch it there. I would love to hear what you think. I have a dragon sorcery show coming up in New York City at New York Comedy Club on April 11th at 7 p.m. with 4 amazing comedians sharing some, you know, funny yet deep issues they're going through. And then I read their tarot on stage. Promo Dragon for $10 tickets. You can get it online at newyorkcomedyclub.com. I would love to see you all there. Also, for any Philly people, I am going to be headlining Philly Comedy Club April 20th and 21st. There will be a 7 and a 9 o'clock show both nights. Promo Wolf for discounted tickets. I would love to see you guys there. If you're in Philly, that would be really fun. And yeah, check out my website, thekatewolf.com. My schedule's on there and everything. I'm trying to think. Oh yeah, if you want a tarot reading or if you want to try the other kinds of healings I give, reach out to me at kwolf2f27@gmail.com. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I will, I guess, talk to you guys next week. Oh, and follow me Instagram, Twitter at the Kate Wolf. All right, bye you guys.